Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Gwyntelligence Podcast. I am Harold James Preller, joined, as always, by Corey Stewart.
Hello, Harold.
Oh, hello.
Happy baseball season.
It started. What a glorious beginning to the spring training season we've had.
Hope springs eternal. Yes.
It's exactly what we've been waiting for, exactly what we expected. Our beloved Padres starting basically a major league lineup yesterday. Our opening day starter just set San Diego's hopes on fire.
I had an electrician at my house yesterday, and I started the game, and I think Musgrove was he walked Mookie or whatever, I think, and I went downstairs because I had to talk to this guy. I talked to him for like 2 minutes. I come back upstairs and it's 8-0, and Joe was walking off. Was it 8-0 when he was walking off? No, 4-0 when he was walking off the field. Yeah. And then like a couple minutes later, I turn around, I did something else, came back, and it was 8-0. Yeah. Well,
like, some electrician was pitching, actually. Yeah,
exactly.
He's in the union.
Holy shit.
Look. I don't know if I've said this before. I don't care at all about spring training.
I don't either.
There's a lot of we were talking off, you know, before the episode about the horrendous lineup that's being pushed out there today. In a world where like the Padres have 5 open positions and need to be evaluating people, they're basically starting an entire lineup of non-roster invitees.
Wait, there's 7, right?
I think yeah.
It's 7 of the 9 or something like that. Yeah.
The thing is, I don't care. Like, I don't waste money on spring training. I don't want to pay major league prices to watch not even AAA caliber players. Because when spring training, like, there's like below low A, like complex league players playing that I don't need to pay to see. Like, I'm not interested in that.
I was just a little surprised to see how many are going in on day 2.
People want to see like Jacob. They want to see Jacob Marcy, right? Jackson Merrill,
give
right?
Jackson Merrill more
the
reps
rookies
than left.
That were worried might make the team.
Yeah,
Martorella or Graham Pauly. Like, why not just play them every day? I get it.
Right.
Also, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I know. Yeah, it's just funny.
It matters about as much to me as when Bob Scanlon posts like a 12-second video of someone throwing to a catcher in a bullpen session.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Completely meaningless.
Ryan Weathers, is that who you're talking about? Remember the arm angle? Everybody jerking themselves off for 2 days about
Scanlon
his fucking
melt
arm
that
angle.
Into like 2 15-minute interviews on the radio, and people were like, oh, wow. With this new arm, it's the same thing when it's like, so-and-so's developing a new pitch. And then they never use it because it's not a good pitch, and to develop a major league pitch takes longer than like 3 weeks in spring training.
Yeah.
It just like completely meaningless to me. I don't care about any of it.
Completely.
I don't need to see look, if you put a camera at the batting cages of me and you selectively edit it, I'm going to look like a major league hitter at some point during that. Same with the driving range. You set up a camera, I'm going to look like Tiger Woods on some of them.
Yeah.
And we're going to cut out 98% of it. But I can make myself look good in a 12-second clip. I don't care.
Right,
people that get excited about spring training clips and information, I don't understand it. Whatever makes them happy, but to me, it seems pretty stupid.
I mean, people were literally happy that Manny was smiling in the dugout yesterday. Yes. Like, people were excited about that. Oh, look how happy he looks.
The other thing I like about spring training is like after a 14-1 crushing, it's like, hey, you guys, come on. Like, spring training doesn't matter. But here's 5 bullet points of all the positive things. And these things definitely do matter.
Yeah. Spring Cronenworth is back.
Yeah. It matters, you guys. I don't know if you saw Yuki Matsui. He's on pace to strike out every batter this season. And then you're like, but they lost 14-1. It wasn't great. you dunce. Spring training doesn't matter, you moron. You complete idiot.
It's so selective. It's incredible. It really is. Yeah. Matsui did look pretty fucking good yesterday.
Complex league hitters. Right, I don't care.
Well, shit, I mean, they had some other guys going yesterday.
Eric LaBoob would look good out there. The way he's selling out, it won't be long till Kruppner gives him a uniform.
Yeah, we need to get to that.
We'll
by
get
the way.
To that.
We will get to that.
Just a reminder, Gwyntelligence is your number one completely free and ad-free podcast with no business relationship at all of any of the hosts with the San Diego Padres.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to point out our independence that is continuing to this day. We did have that brief foray into a Venus for Men.
But that was different.
Yes. I'll be frank with you. This is a behind the scenes thing, but with Coach's fall from grace, some of his inappropriate behavior online, some of his likes that we've seen over the past couple months, Corey and I discussed it, and the Venus for Men money, it just wasn't worth it Coach Quintero as a spokesman.
Right.
So we walked away from that money, and that's the kind of independence you can expect from the Gwintelligence podcast.
By the way, the sample that they sent me, I even sent it back.
Unclean?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I wasn't going to clean it. I mean, come on.
That's a them problem.
Yeah, that's not a me problem. That's a them problem.
It's sticky. Let me tell you, folks. All right, Corey, there's not really a lot going on.
Where the fuck do we start?
Look, we said at the beginning of the offseason, we didn't feel an urgency to do podcasts just for the sake of podcasts, right? There's nothing going on. The Padres aren't signing anyone. They're apparently not spending the money they saved from the Juan Soto trade.
Wait, I was told that they were going to, though.
Oh, didn't you hear? We didn't just trade for a bunch of mediocre pitchers and one good pitcher. We were getting $32 million in payroll flexibility. And if you just imagine, that's a Cody Bellinger.
That is a Cody Bellinger.
That we might have traded for Cody Bellinger or Blake Snell. But it turns out we didn't.
We traded
for Wandy Peralta, one of the worst relief pitchers in baseball last year, and then Jurickson Profar, who of course we did an emergency podcast last week for.
Yes, of course.
Literally the worst player in baseball last year, by a pretty wide margin. Actually, the worst player. I heard Craig Elston say on his radio show, he used the word "quote immaculate" to describe that signing. So that's where we're at. And honestly, I think it's a masterful strategy by the Padres where they just do nothing. They don't spend any of the money. And then they throw out these crumbs. They could sign anyone at this point, right?
God.
Our local media turned signing Wandy Peralta into an entire day of content.
Yes.
They turned signing Jurickson Profar, the worst player in baseball and the 22nd worst player since World War II, into like 3 days of content.
And Profar's not even official yet, right?
No, he doesn't even have a visa. He's an illegal immigrant right now if he were to show up at the complex.
Man, he's not going to like that.
Not at all. Man. They could sign, I don't know. Who's a terrible option? Right? They could have signed David Peralta.
Well, there's a couple guys that are out there that I keep seeing the name. I keep seeing Lorenzen. I keep seeing.
Hey, is he that guy that was so bad after he threw a no hitter that the team couldn't even use him? They just benched him.
Yes. Eric Lauer.
Oh,
is another one that I keep seeing.
Hey, he's
that
a guy
name.
That totally sucks.
Yeah. Yes, but you know what? But if they bring in Lauer, it's gonna be like, oh well, that's a great fifth.
He's a Dodger killer.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Do you remember his pickoff moves? It's a weapon. It's part of our attack pitching staff.
Yes.
I don't know. They could have signed David Peralta, right? A marginal major leaguer who got a minor league contract. In fact, I saw a debate online of like, why did we sign Profar instead of Peralta? Like, like it matters. Like,
yeah.
Like they don't both totally suck and that we're just arguing who sucks like 3% worse when in the end they both totally suck.
Completely.
They suck. Yeah. All we're talking about are players that suck at this point.
But Profar could be a starter.
He is the starter right now.
Well, I mean, he's not even there yet, but.
If our country graces him with allowing him to enter our wonderful borders.
And he passes the physical and all that, which I'm sure he will, because he's been playing in Curacao, right? I don't know.
Do you care?
No,
he sucks.
Like, it's just a mess. I want to skip to the end of spring training because I am so excited to see what this opening day roster is going to look like and what the bench is going to look like. Like, it's
what about all our? I was told that we obtained all kinds of depth, that this was a more complete roster. That's what we were told. I still love about the Soto trade, and it's true. At the time of the Soto trade, we had like no pitchers.
Yeah.
it's like, yeah, we solved all of our depth problems with this. Like, completely ignoring that by trading Grisham and Soto, we now have no outfield. It's been 3 months since that trade.
Did they really need to throw Grisham? Like, I and you know, I mean, I shit on Grisham all the fucking time. Did they really need to throw him in there to make that deal happen?
Right.
AJ could have just said, look, if you want Soto, this is the deal. I walk.
He thought he was going to get something better.
Yeah.
Like, was Randy Vasquez worth it? A relief pitcher? I think that if we were offered the trade today of Grisham for Vasquez, I'd probably take that.
Like, who's going to be the center fielder? Like, I mean, it's incredible that we're how far into spring training now, and we don't have a clue.
I just think it's weird. It's like every name that gets thrown out generally sucks.
Yeah.
Whoever it is, Sugar. Whatever hypothetical signing we would make, Jacob Marcy, who has like 40 at bats at Double A,
yeah,
whoever it is pretty much worse than Grisham. And yes, we made it pretty vocal that Grisham was not good,
no,
right? In
no,
general,
no.
But they're all Grisham was better than all of them. In fact, a lot of these players are basically Grisham without any power. Like at least Grisham hits 15 home runs a year.
Yeah.
Everyone else sucks. All these options suck.
I can't believe I'm pining for the days of Grisham back.
That's where we're at.
Really?
The off season of hope. Wait, don't worry. We added to our depth. We got a lot of depth. A lot of depth.
We don't know who's going to play center
field.
Who's
on our bench?
That's wild.
It's the exact same bench as last year, but worse.
It's going to be like Batten. It's going to be like the – yeah, right. Yeah.
Like Brett Sullivan still on the roster.
Yeah.
Yeah, Batten, Eggy. Who else is there? Sugar. No, he's a starter.
Right now. Go through the lineup of today. Like, these guys that I like, when the name McCoy came up, and apparently he had a nice play yesterday, I didn't see. I was like, who the fuck is McCoy? Who is Mercado?
Yeah. Who's the other? Calvin Mitchell or something?
He's a guy, he was with the Giants or something like that. He's like 28 or something.
He's
like,
a non prospect.
Another, yeah.
Oh, he went to Rancho Bernardo High School, though. We brought him home.
Bring him home, man.
Bring him home. That's all bring we care them about. Home. The story. As of today, our payroll sits at $159 million. That's a decrease of $96 million from last year. Honestly, I think at this point, AJ's not going to do nothing. He's going to sign some scrub, right? $2 million, $3 million. Raise our payroll maybe up to 162, 165, so that we're only cutting payroll $86 million from last year. Just a reminder, ticket prices went up another 15 to 20% this year. And it's been a common question, right? Even Ben Higgins, the man who went on the radio this morning to say the 14-1 loss wasn't that bad because seven of the nine innings, they held them scoreless. The ultimate turd polisher, Benjamin Higgins. Even he
asked, he is so good at it.
Team president Eric Grubner, why should fans explain to fans why ticket prices went up and payroll is going down, right? And he even had a follow-up question there.
Yes.
Just untold savagery against the respected Padres president by the team flagship there.
Good old Grubner.
Uncalled for. But Grubner didn't have a good answer. He just avoided it. And it reminded
he didn't
me of
have
what,
any good answers
it reminded
in that
me
interview.
Of what Partello used to say
just shit himself.
And Mike D used to say when they got asked about payroll. They'd be like, yeah, don't worry about the payroll. We've got all these young guys coming up. And I remember thinking back then, okay, then like – why should I buy $80 tickets to your team when you're telling me I should go to Lake Elsinore and watch all the players you're telling me are the most exciting in the entire system?
Right.
For $12. Like, explain to me why I shouldn't just go there. And, like, it's the same from Grubner. He was like, ignoring the whole basis of the question.
Yeah.
And being like, we've got a lot of young guys coming up in the system. So, like, I don't know. For the price of two field-level tickets at Petco, I could buy plane tickets to Amarillo and see the Double-A team and sit behind home plate. Is that what I should do? Grubner's he's not a good face guy for the team. I've described him as a sentient piece of cardboard.
But who is? Like, who can you talk to in this organization right now?
Smart teams have someone, right?
Well, like, yes. Yeah, right. Exactly. We don't have one.
Usually the charismatic head of a billion-dollar organization can handle media, right?
Yeah, you would think.
Like that was, it was Mike such D. A bad Mike interview. D. For all of his failings and his dishonesty and his philandering, allegedly,
allegedly
was at least like a human being when he would come on. And like even Partello,
he was pretty good with Partello, that kind of shit.
Like a noted blunderer, one of the most incompetent executives in San Diego Padres history, could at least hold his own as like a conversational 10 minutes on the radio, right? Yeah. We didn't get any useful information. I had plenty to complain about after the interview, but at least they sounded like a human being.
10 minutes on the flagship, and you can't handle it.
And you can't put AJ on, because he's even worse.
God.
Oh. Wait. I know what they could do. What if they held a media presser on Saturday, and they brought out Eric Kudsenda? Maybe he's the charismatic leader we've all been waiting for.
And have groups stand there, just sweating bullets, just awkward and nervous, and his anxiety. You could literally see the anxiety. I wonder if he was like actively trying to control not shaking.
Right. He just looked like this sweaty, scared little boy. He was like,
it was so bad.
It's like he's cowering in the corner with the ATF storming a building that he's in.
God.
Like, it's terrifying.
As Kudsenda's sitting there talking about that we owe it to the military or what?
We're accountable to the military. We're part of their chain of command. Don't you know that the chief of naval operations has a key part at the key seat at the table when talking about free agent acquisitions?
Holy shit.
Just the absolute worst spokesman I've ever heard.
It was so terrible.
He makes Grubner look good.
Oh my God, yeah. 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 It was uncomfortable to watch him.
It just, yeah. He's, hold on.
And apparently, okay, apparently they had this date set up for a long period of time, actually. But the timing of it was so funny because it was literally the day after the Xander Bogaerts disaster with him showing up. Oh,
we'll talk about that too.
Like, we're never going to win a World Series. However, we are the champions of stepping on our dicks. We're so good at it.
I don't understand this. I don't understand this team. How are they so bad at this?
It's just incredible.
Well, here's some uplifting words from Chairman Eric Kudsenda. What I can say is just a lot of alignment around where we're headed, what our objectives are for this year, a lot of excitement, a lot of talk about continuing Peter's vision for what this team can be and should be, not only for itself, but also for the city of San Diego. So we're off and running. I have a question. What do you think Peter's vision was when he was here? As the owner of the team, let's say ignore all the city functions, you know, city civil, helping the homeless, stuff like that.
You just mean the team.
Yes. What was his vision for the Padres?
To win a World Series.
Yeah.
Right.
At any cost. Right.
Yes.
That's my vision of Peter, was that winning above all, right?
He was
winning
go
above
for
the balance sheet.
Yeah.
Take a personal loss. Cash call failed. He covered it. He cut a personal check for it,
right?
Because he wanted to win.
Yeah,
that's what I see Peter's vision as.
Yeah.
What do you think Eric thinks his vision? The Erics. What do you think his vision? What do you think they're describing here? Just a generic. We want to be a World Series. We want to be a championship team. Every team says
every
that's
team
their vision.
Says,
right?
Yeah.
It's a generic vision. Peter's vision was so valuable because it went a step beyond the normal generic. It was a way to get there, right?
Yeah.
I think them talking about Peter's vision and saying they're following it and then slashing payroll $96 million is actually the exact opposite of what Peter's vision was for this team.
Totally.
And I think it's honestly disrespectful that they're invoking his name to support slashing payroll $96 million and running out a team that's missing at this point five starting positions, two starting pitchers, one DH, two outfielders. Is this what Peter's vision was? Because I have a hard time believing that Peter Seidler, if alive, would be running this team out there this year.
No, there's no way.
Right.
Yeah.
It kills me that they're invoking the vision, the name, the legacy of such a great man as Peter Seidler to support their private equity corporate slashing of this team back down to the bone.
I'm already at the point, and I have been for, I think, for a week, where every time his name comes up, I cringe.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna do it for Peter and blah 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 blah. It seems such bullshit.
Like, it's disgusting.
It really is. Like, it's what? Why did, like, you guys knew he was dying last year? Why didn't you fucking do it last year? Why now?
Yeah,
and you're gonna start talking this shit now? Like, fuck off! It's killing me. They're trotting that team out with all these holes.
Peter wouldn't have allowed this.
No,
there's a lot, and you know, I actually think it's also disgusting when people invoke Peter's name as a defense of AJ Preller, where they're like, there's a common thing where we talked about, like, the spring training paradox, where it's like, spring training doesn't matter unless it's the good things, and those definitely matter.
Yeah.
With every move in Padres' recent history, it's, okay, all the good moves, AJ did. All the bad moves, Peter's fault.
Those were forced upon AJ. Yeah,
forced upon him. No evidence of that.
Yeah.
But just to invoke a deceased hero's name like that and his legacy,
yeah,
as a way to provide shielding and cover for
Preller's massive mistakes.
Right. It's not fair. He's not here to defend that.
No.
It's to me, it's disgusting. And I hate hearing it. I hate it more than anything.
Blame the dead guy for all the bad shit, right, while you wear your fucking PS patch.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we're selling merch in his name.
Yeah.
And we're having the day of remembrance for him, you know?
Right. Like, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, you mean the guy you just dragged through the mud and you keep invoking his vision and then you're spitting on it and taking a dump on it? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. But go take your selfie with a Cutwater at the fucking memorial while you shit on Peter because he's the one who pushed for Hosmer.
Right.
Fuck off. You know, we get shit for being negative on this podcast.
But look, one thing I'm positive on is Peter Seidler. Yeah, I don't think I've ever been negative on that man.
No, no.
He's what we've always wanted, and he's shone bright for a short period of time.
His only thing bad that you could say about the guy is that he just put too much fucking trust in AJ Preller. He was so blinded by what a boy genius.
He went on the radio with Scott Kaplan for an hour to defend Mike D on Fire Mike D Day. So there's that also.
Oh, but, yeah, that's bad.
But he was still learning, you know, like baby steps.
That was his spring training. But,
look, it wasn't that long ago. I remember the Peter Seidler era, and it wasn't this.
Yeah.
So don't tell me this was his vision.
Yeah.
The other thing I keep seeing is, like, it's wonderful that it's going to stay within the Seidler family, the ownership. I'm going to say that I don't care who owns the team at this point. I care who's operating the team, who's the control person, because they're the ones who really matter. A bunch of teams have owners, and you don't know the owners. They're just collecting the paychecks.
Yeah.
All that you're telling me with the Seidlers owning it is that they're going to keep making the billions of dollars that Peter made because it's a rapidly appreciating asset that makes money. It prints money. Okay, good. I'm glad that his heirs are going to enjoy that. It doesn't tell me anything on how this team is going to operate. All I have is this brief window since Peter passed away to today to see how his heirs or the trust or whatever is operating the team, and I don't like it. We were told many – you know, I keep going back to this Juan Soto trade. And Craig Elston on the radio, who we can talk more in detail about his new show, I find him to be excellent. I've always said he's one of the best analysts of the Padres that there are. He's often said lately that the Padres got to do something because if they blow this year, the fans aren't coming back. It's too expensive to lose, raise ticket prices, roll out another disappointing team. And if you think they're going to be selling out and setting attendance records next year, you're crazy. If you think they're going to be selling as many streaming packages next year, if they blow this year, you're crazy. There's a lot riding on this year. And if that's true, like, in all things being equal, and we're trying to win this year, the right move was to not trade Juan Soto. It was to try to win this year, right? And keep the money train going. Outside of that, Craig always says that they've got to do something, right? Because otherwise this team's going down. I agree. I think that there is this cliff where if this team puts up 77 wins this year, I don't think the fans are coming back. it's like a ripple effect, right?
Yeah.
The season ticket holders, which I think AC cited, there's 24,000 of them. Those season ticket holders have been able to print money the last 2 years reselling tickets until September and maybe August last year,
yeah,
where they couldn't give those tickets away because the team sucked so bad. At the point that the season ticket holders can't sell those tickets, you're going to see the season tickets falling off.
That's going to be the big – that'll be the big
That's
hit.
Huge. I think that's, yeah. Yeah. I think that's the cliff, right? Yeah.
Those are your big customers, and if you're hurting
prices,
them
– and they've been able to justify those price hikes because they're still able to break even, make money –
Reselling
a bunch of the tickets, right?
Yeah, right.
I really and in the old days, the season tickets were not profitable. You're selling way below face value, way below your season ticket discount value, and I think it's headed back there if this team doesn't win this year.
I agree. I think it'll be. I don't think it'll be like dropping off of a cliff, but I think that there's going to be a dramatic.
And they've made it clear that our payroll is very much tied to continuing fan support. In fact, if you listen to Eric Grubner, both on the radio with our beloved Ben and Woods and in that interview, he almost issues a threat to fans.
It really was a threat.
It wasn't like an appreciative, you know, appreciate their passion, generic stuff that D used to say. It was a threat. It was like, to continue our payroll at this level, we need the fans to continue supporting the team at their current level.
Right, yeah.
Implying that if you don't, we're slashing payroll again.
Yeah, then we're not going to be able to sustain this unless you guys keep showing up, unless you guys keep banging down cutwaters and buying jerseys and all this shit. Yeah. It really sounded like a threat. Yeah, it really did. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of importance on this year. And I keep going back to the Juan Soto trade and being like, why? We're not better. We're not better this year. We're definitely worse this year without him. We don't have any outfielders. The pitchers you got are, other than Michael King, are marginally better than what the incumbent mediocre pitchers were. I keep looking at it and being like, maybe we shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I am excited to see Michael King this year, but with the Michael King thing, it's 2 years.
Yeah.
It's only 2 years.
We appear to be flushing one of the years.
Yeah, so these pitchers that are down in AA or whatever, like they keep talking about, it's like, okay, this is the next wave.
Yeah.
Because this is what we've heard how many times before. I mean, they've really got to nail it on a lot of guys. Really have to be the dream scenario.
Yeah.
And that rarely happens when it comes to minor leaguers. I mean, it's a fact. I mean, there are only so many of these guys are actually going to hit.
Right.
And it seems like they need a lot of them to hit for things to be okay in the coming years. If you're going to stay at this payroll, because you've dedicated so much to your big four or five or whatever.
And I think they obviously look a lot better on the pitching side.
Yes. Yeah. Much better on that.
They don't look that great on the position side.
Well, they'll tell you that Marcy and Pauly and Merrill are the next big things. They have Pauly playing first base today, and he's
literally never played.
Never played a game of first
college.
Base in college at Duke. Never played a game on the minor league level. This is his first game. Is it spring training at first base?
Yeah, but it's easy. Anyone can play any position.
Anybody can play first
They're
base.
They're elite athletes.
Yeah, Corey. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Will Myers can play third base.
Yeah. Shit.
You know, that reminds me. The quote I read from Katsenda, the thing they keep saying is alignment. There's this alignment, right, between manager and GM and ownership. We're acting like we've never heard this before. We were told the exact same thing when Jace Tingler, AJ's best friend, was hired.
Right.
That there was going to be unheard of alignment between the manager. Exactly what we didn't get from Andy Green, right?
Right.
That Tingler was going to change everything, that with them tied at the hip in perfect alignment, everything would work out. And it turns out that that's what Eric Hosmer led the rebellion in the clubhouse against, is the too close alignment between the GM and the manager. So I'm going to say, I keep hearing like, oh, well, Schiltball is going to – that's like the secret for this year. It could be. I'm not saying it's not. He seems like an okay dude.
Yeah.
He has experience at least. But I'm going to reserve judgment until the first big losing streak and see how the team responds, right, before I declare anything. Because I've heard all this before. We've heard these exact quotes before. All the stuff about Schilt, you know, he's like bonding with the players more and his caravan around the world to go talk to them. Like, Tingler did the same stuff. I don't know if you remember, Tingler was like a jiu-jitsu dude.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
He would make sure to, they made a big deal that he would work out in the weight room with the players. He's just one of the guys, like, working out, and it was going to create unheard of bonding with the team. All the stuff Andy didn't do. I don't know. It didn't seem like that turned out that great. So I'll hold off on judgments.
The Schilt thing, and we didn't get, I think we talked about it a bit on the Lost episode or whatever. The AC article scared the shit out of me. And I don't know why everybody praised it so much.
The really, really long profile on Schilt.
So if you have like a week and a half or whatever to sit down and read that, go ahead, because it's like a half of a book.
Yeah.
That didn't need to be half of a book.
I didn't need their editor's ass. I didn't need like half of it being about his boyhood story.
Oh my god! He literally mentioned stuff that was
completely irrelevant.
He mentioned every fucking person that he worked with
over,
from 6 years old.
He brings up that nobody knows why he was fired. He was disappeared from the Cardinals. He didn't push. The most interesting part of the potential story, and AC glosses over it to talk about Schilt selling candy at the baseball field when he was a kid or whatever. Like.
It was incredible, but like he has this. I mean, the whole article is basically about how Schilt is the perfect manager for the St. Louis Cardinals, basically, and he is Mr. Cardinal.
Yeah,
and he came in on the ground floor and worked his way up, and literally has his little Cardinal Way book from what's the fucking Cardinal guy? I can't even remember.
La Russa.
No, it wasn't La Russa. It was like one of the like old time, like, I mean, like real Cardinal fuckers, like, you know.
Whitey Herzog or something.
I can't remember.
Some white guy.
Yeah. Anyway, and like, I mean, and he goes through like how amazing that, okay, Schilt never had a losing record with the Cardinals. They were game above 500 when Matheny was fired and went 41-28 under Schilt to finish 2.5 games out of the playoffs in 2018. In his first full season as manager, the Cardinals advanced to the NL Championship Series and then to the playoffs the next two seasons. Man, it sounds fucking great. He's Mr. Cardinal. They're winning. They're going to the playoffs 3 years in a row under his, and then he gets fired.
I just want to know why he got fired.
Why?
Why can the city never report on why someone got fired?
Why is
this our glaring weakness?
Yeah, and they get to the reason remains mostly a mystery. Mosliak, the GM, right? Cited only philosophical differences. There was, however, something of a guerrilla campaign in which Schilt was portrayed as being demanding to the point of domineering with his staff. Schilt denies that was the case. I know the people over there, he said. I know what I did. No one was treated disrespectfully. People had an agenda and then controlled the narrative that is completely false. Folks, if red flags aren't coming up all over for you, I don't know what to tell you. Something was definitely fucking wrong there. And then also at the same time, his 3-year marriage dissolves. Like, and then comes over here and hangs out with Peter until he gets the job. It's a really weird fucking deal.
Well, no one interviewed him. He hasn't been given a shot. So, look, I'm gonna say on behalf of Schilt, I'm willing to go into. I'm not bashing the move. It's fine.
Nope. Yeah.
I just don't understand the anointing everything he's doing is like amazing. Like I heard he was on the backfields watching the players and like. I'm pretty sure the other managers have like watched the backfields. Like it's not a new thing, but we're acting like everything he's doing is this innovative new energy that's never been seen before. It's fine.
Yeah,
I don't have anything to criticize him for.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, of the guys that were available after Melvin left, he was probably the best choice. I mean, it took him a month and a fucking half or whatever, and a Kevin Acey PR campaign, but. After that, I mean, honestly, it probably was the best one.
Sure. I mean, noted marijuana addict, miserable SD fan, wanted Ron Washington quite a bit.
That's true.
And I am a little eager to see how he performs in Anaheim. But, I mean, did we really want Phil Nevin here? Was that going to be a good thing?
No.
I don't even know why we would choose him instead of Ryan Klesko, our ultimate favorite player from that era.
Imagine Nevin and Preller trying to get along.
I mean,
that would have honestly been super
value,
fun.
Yeah,
the post game would have been so good.
Yeah. But look, I don't think you can judge a manager until the team has a losing record and goes through a losing streak. Because everyone thought Bob Melvin was the best when the team was winning in 2022 or whatever. So,
yeah, right.
Who knows?
Who knows?
At some point, we thought Tingler was a good manager too.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I don't know. The last thing on the payroll and the revenue, I highlighted some stuff in Kevin Acey's article that I found a little deceptive, but he wrote that the Padres doubled revenue from 2019 to 2023, but that revenue was outpaced by increases in payroll, which was only $104 million in 2018. That's not even part of the comparison because the revenue doubling was not including 2018. If you look at 2019, which would fall within that, the payroll was $118-$120 million, depending on how you calculate it.
Yeah.
Today, the payroll is $159 million. That is a 29% increase in payroll, while the team has experienced at least a 100% increase in revenue in that same period. In my opinion, as long as the fans are filling the stadium, this team should have a higher payroll. And the crazy thing to me is the progression over the offseason. Do you remember we started at what, 259 or so, 256, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
And then the AC article came out where he threw out a $200 million. He said $200 million, right? And all of the apologists were like, that's just AC being wrong. He's always wrong about payroll. It's going to wind up between 215 and 225. Don't worry. And then at some point that got revised. They traded Soto. They traded Soto. They said it wasn't a salary dump because we were going to reinvest all that money.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We're going to get all kinds of exciting new players with that extra money. Not a salary dump. Just remember, not a salary dump.
It's That's not what they about told the us. Money.
Yeah, not about the money. And then people were like, you know, like maybe they're just trying to get under the CBT, but I could see the salaries still being $200 million or so. And then it was like, you know, a month later, it's like, I think they're going to cut it down to CBT, which is, I think, $189 million. And now we're sitting at 159 and we're like, you know, I think that they're going to sign Tommy Pham for $2 or $3 million. And you know, that's a good acquisition because we don't have anyone in left field at all. Like, it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go into the next season with $162 million when literally at the winter meetings, people were vehemently defending the team on Twitter and on every forum you could find saying, you know, it's just AC being wrong. And Lynn hates the team. What does he know?
Yeah.
It's going to be 225. You don't understand. Only the doomers think it's going to go down to 200. And now we're hoping for 165 getting spent.
Hoping.
It's unacceptable, I think. And it should be talked about a lot more that fans have given a lot of faith in giving the team money, renewing season tickets, being told that they'd be given an opportunity to buy Korea tickets, right? Like, people bought plane tickets for this thing. And I heard that they're still sending notices out yesterday at their dumb lottery for however many tickets they negotiated to get.
Well, they waited so long. Like, somebody that I talked to, I think they got their confirmation that they could buy two tickets. It was like the 9th, I want to say, or the 8th, February 8th, yeah. February 9th. So it's like literally like a month and
5 weeks or so.
Yeah, 5 weeks out. Yeah, something like that. It's like, okay, yeah, okay, you're good to go. So I would imagine that like when they did their little lottery thing and then they sent out the emails going, hey, okay, yeah, you can buy your tickets. A lot of people were like, I can't swing that now.
Yeah.
I don't have the time to like either get off work.
I got to put in, it's Korea. Like you got to put in at least a week.
Yeah. Right. The airplane tickets, like, I mean, all that shit, getting hotels, I can't imagine it's easy to find lodging at this point. You know,
logistics are tough.
Yeah.
For
so
this.
All these people are
this
saying
is in Mexico City where they're running, you know, five flights out of Tijuana a day.
Right. Exactly. So they're sending them back saying, I can't do it. So then they send them back out to the next group.
And it's probably like a day.
Yeah, right.
That goes
by. And so it just keeps going and people keep saying no because they can't swing it.
And it's going to be more no's. It's just like a ridiculous how they did it.
They just fucked it up so bad.
And like, I get it. Like MLB is involved. This is like
they fucked it up too.
A diamond event or whatever they call it.
And there's like how many seats?
But there's been no communication.
It's not even 20,000.
Our beloved Crazy Charisma.
Yeah.
Has tickets there.
Yes.
Hotel reservations. She probably is not a listener of Making a Points Millionaire and didn't buy these on points, where of course the tickets would be fully refundable and your points would be given back to you.
She's in. She's going.
Oh, she got in.
She got tickets.
Okay.
She did get tickets. Yeah.
See how much tickets are? They're like $700.
Is that breaking news that I'm dropping here right now?
Yeah. Incredible.
How about that?
Great news.
How about that?
I didn't hear that on Ben and Woods.
Yeah, I talked to my sources. Charisma. shout out, Chris.
The tickets are like $700, though.
Are they really?
They're so expensive. I think they start at like $600, depending on where your seats are.
Oh, my God.
They're not good seats either. They're like along the upper deck on the first base left field line.
Oh, man.
It's not like Mexico City where I was able to buy seats in like the diamond, the Lexus Club, basically.
Isn't that when you were going to throw out the first pitch?
Yes. You mean the game where they were the literally the game where the Dodgers no hit the Padres as the ultimate universal karma for Wayne Partello and his micro dicked shenanigans.
Wow. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, they fucked up the Korea thing so bad. I mean, it's anyway.
Group talk. Come on.
Come on. Get your shit together.
Okay. Where do we go from here? Are you excited by
I'm not
a Tommy Pham coming back?
Oh God. But by the way, did you see his Instagram post the other day?
Oh, just piles of guns?
8 a.m. in the morning. 8 o'clock in the fucking morning on a Monday. And he's posting on Instagram stories a picture of a pile of like, what was it, 15, 16 guns?
Yes.
What?
Why?
What? You live in Vegas. Oh my God.
Okay, here's
I can't think of a dumber baseball player than fucking Tommy Pham. I really can't. And I know he had a good year last year and all that. I don't want his fucking scowling face here. I don't want his pile of guns.
Let's not get crazy.
Go fuck yourself.
Let's not get crazy. He didn't have a good year. He had an okay year.
He had a pretty good year.
The Mets fans were ready to run him out of town after he went like 0-for-50 in his first month.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. He was terrible there. Yeah. But the Diamondbacks, he was pretty good, though. But, I mean, I don't want him here.
Here's my thing. Outfield sucks right now, right?
Yeah.
Currently, it's Profar and Sugar.
It's going to be Jackson in left field. I don't think there's any. Did you hear Tatis, his comment about that he's on the team?
I really don't care what Tatis says about it.
I know, but like, does he know something? Like, did he hear something and he accidentally let it slip?
Is it good? Do we think that's good?
I don't think it is. I think he should be going back down to the minors and developing and to the point.
It's my favorite thing about,
they're in a rush.
About prospect rankings, where all of the Padres fans jack their dicks about every top 100 that comes out. And they're like, did you see the comments on this and this? And they're like, ah, oh, yeah, Keith Law really knows his stuff. Assuming Keith Law writes stuff that agrees, it changes year to year. I've seen years where Marver wants to write a 50-page manifesto, and then the very next year, Keith Law has positive things to say about the system, and we're like, yeah, Keith, you guys just don't understand. Keith Law really values ceiling, and he's saying that our ceiling is so high.
Yeah.
It just changes based on whether you agree, whether what they write agrees with your preconceived notions.
Yeah.
And in this case, literally every prospect writer that has an interview, including the one employed by Major League Baseball, Callis.
Callis,
Every time they're asked, they're like, hey, do you think that so-and-so, Marcy, Merrill, name it, whoever on the position side is ready to jump in and play on the Padres this year? And they're like, oh, God, no. No, they're definitely not ready for that.
Callis was like, look, all of them, not one of them is ready.
Yeah.
Not one.
An employee of Eric Kinsenda, essentially,
is
going on the radio and being like, oh no, that's not a good idea. Yeah. That would not only be a bad performance, it would stunt their development.
He kind of ripped them about the Salas thing.
Yeah.
He's like, I cannot believe that he was a double A.
I found Kyle Glazer you know, it's not surprising. He went to Torrey Pines High School. As someone I don't generally hold in high repute, what he says, he's usually very favorable to whatever the Padres are doing. Even he went on the radio and was like, yeah, real questionable what they did with Salas last year. And that's based on the assumption that they're going to drop him back down to A ball when AC says he's going double A.
He's going to double A. That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
And I've heard from someone at Mad Friars that AJ just doesn't like demoting his top prospects. No. He doesn't like how it looks.
Yeah, it looks bad. So but if he keeps promoting them, it's like, look how quickly this guy's
going. You remember
when
he got called up at double A and it was like, you know, hey, you guys, don't be silly. This isn't permanent. We want him to get a taste of playoff baseball and be around the guys.
Yeah.
If at that time the assumption was, yeah, he's there for good. He had his 20 terrible at bats in high A and where he performed very, 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 very poorly. And we're just going to leave him at double A where he also performed very, 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 very poorly. And these prospect writers that are talking about Salas, like his aggressive promotion, their assumption is it was okay. It wasn't great, but like, you know, obviously they would move him back to high A, you know, or low A even. And they're not doing that. They're just going to.
The
AJ
thing about
loves those accolades.
Loves it. He loves the prospect. Yeah, that's why he talks to them so much, and like he wants them to jerk him off. Yeah. He loves it. But the good thing about Salas is that, like, catching isn't very difficult. I mean, it's really easy.
Definitely the position that you see people accelerate to the major league.
It's super easy. What could go wrong?
You know, Austin Hedges was like a top 20. Consensus like prospect in baseball. They said he was like, you know, it was well known when he was at low A, like what they were projecting him as. And you remember in 2015, out of need, AJ called up Austin Hedges up and brought him up, and he performed terribly for the Padres, right? They gave him like half the season to play, and then he yo-yoed him back down to AAA for almost all of the next year. And like, I don't know. Austin Hedges sucked here, right? In general, other than defensively and framing or whatever.
Yeah.
He couldn't hit.
Oh.
And who's to say that that yo-yoing was positive for his development? Like, I think there's this feeling that the minor leagues are stupid. Why do we even have them? We should just call up all the top prospects up to the big leagues and have them work with the big league coaches. Like, that's how you do it, right? I don't know. It's weird. All the other teams that actually develop their prospects never do that. They're reserved and wait for the players to actually show that they're ready. They don't promote a former first round pitcher like Ryan Weathers from A ball and completely skip double A and triple A up to the major leagues and then yo-yo him back to triple A, still skipping double A in the process. Like, it's not usually a normal process for a high school pitcher to have that route.
Yeah.
Do we think that was good for him, or do we think Ryan Weathers just sucked? I don't know. There's an impossible question, but it's at least something we would have to consider.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he was great, but they fucked up his development. Yeah. I mean, there's just no doubt about
it. You think it was good for him to get called up to the majors skipping? I think he skipped high A also.
Like, he skipped like everything, and then all of a sudden he's in the fake playoffs against
pitches one inning.
Who's the Mickey? Yeah, and does well. Anybody could have done that.
Do we think it was good for his development to be immediately be on the roster the next year at the major league level, skipping at least double A and triple A, and then getting tagged for like a 6 ERA? Do we think that was good for him?
Yeah, and then they shoot him down to El Paso where he just gets the shit kicked out of him.
Again.
He must have been so happy to get the fuck out of here.
I mean, maybe he sucks.
Like, yeah, no, and I think he does.
He's a
honestly.
Nepo baby.
I don't think he's that. Yeah, I really don't.
But maybe he could have been better. Yeah. I don't. It's impossible. Yeah. Do we think C.J. Abrams basically being rushed through the majors was good for his development? A high school hitter who couldn't hit, never had an exemplary season in the minors hitting at the plate.
Yeah.
Do we think him skipping levels was good for him? Rushing him to the big leagues? Like, I don't know. You know, he was like the number two prospect in baseball, and people are anointing him as like he finally panned out because he put up 2 WAR last year. I guarantee people that ranked him second didn't peg him as a 2 WAR player.
Right. This conversation just scares the shit out of me because, like, basically what Group Dog is telling us is, hey, we're good. We're going to develop players now. I know we haven't done it, but we're going to now.
I'm sure there are anomalies of players that have quote unquote developed at the major league level, but I don't think that that's the predominantly positive way to do it.
Yeah.
Given anecdotal or historical evidence.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you hear like stuff about Jackson Merrill, you know, playing left field or whatever. And it's like, well, Tatis was able to make that move. Like, you can't, like, stop fucking comparing people to Fernando Tatis Jr., who's a freak.
The only player in the system who's that level caliber of player is Ethan Salas.
That's it. That's the only one.
Go ahead and compare him to Ivan Rodriguez, who was called up at 19. That's I'm okay with that comparison.
Completely. Yeah.
Merrill is not in that category.
Right. Yeah. You can't Merrill
was mediocre at AA last year in his 100 at bats or whatever. Yeah. Like, he wasn't tearing it up.
No.
I keep hearing, like, oh, you know, we don't need to worry about his bat as long as he can learn the position. I'm like, I don't know. I'm a little worried about his bat. Like, he wasn't great when he jumped up to AA. Like, I'd like to see a little more. Not to say he can't, but I'd like to see a little more.
But if he is going to be your starting left fielder, let's say he is okay in left field, which is basically what Juan Soto was last year, okay in left field. I mean, okay at best. And that's probably what you're going to get from Jackson. Like, I mean, if people are shitting on fucking Soto's defense out in left field, like, this is a kid who's just learning it. Yeah. So it's not going to be great. I mean, let's just but that bat, think about the drop off.
Yeah.
Oh, but he was just looking for walks. Well, you're going to be fucking missing
He hit around hit like 30 bombs.
And 35.
Yeah, he was like the best hitter on the team last year.
Has Manny hit 35 bombs for us?
I don't think so. I don't know. I was saying earlier, like, I've heard all this before about Shildt. You remember when in 2015 when AJ decided that Will Myers was going to be a center fielder? I heard the same stuff in spring. It was a lot of it was like a coordinated media Pravda response of like, you guys should see him out on the backfields. He's taking good routes. With someone that athletic, you know he can handle the position. It's just like, I want to see it, okay?
Speaking of a guy that they fucked with so much.
Yeah.
I mean,
and now he's out of baseball. And there's literally Padres fans that are like, why don't we bring him home? He could play left field for us. He was like one of the other he would have been the worst player in baseball. The thing with Profar being the worst player last year is it's like a pitcher that loses 20 games. You have to be terrible to lose 20 games, but you also have to be just good enough to keep getting the starts.
Right.
Profar was so bad, but his team was so terrible and he was owed the money. Like, there were all these circumstances that he still got 600 plate appearances. Yeah,
the Rockies were still going to try him out. Right. I mean, Buddy was going to like, get out there. It takes a special
situation to have a season as terrible as him, his. Like, the Padres actually have two other seasons in the top 20 for worst season since World War II. It was Joe Carter in 1990, who they traded a buttload. That's where they traded Hall of Famer Roberto Alomar for him. And Fred McGriff away for Tony Fernandez and Joe Carter. So, of course, they were going to play Joe Carter all year.
Yeah.
And then Chris Gomez, our only shortstop. They had no choice but to roll him out there and continue being terrible. So, it takes a special situation. Will Myers was on pace to blow away Profar's season, but he was so bad that the Reds could just cut bait on him. Cut him, and then Will had to retire and eat Chick-fil-A and sue his country club in Charlotte or whatever.
Why doesn't Will go to Colorado and just be DH?
He's done. That guy's done. He doesn't want to.
It's like Hosmer.
We can say that now that he's retired, right? Like, he was lazy.
Yeah.
All the stuff we said back then, it was true, but we wanted to defend our guy because he seemed like a fun guy that liked white queso and North Carolina Mexican food. He was a character. It was a lesson to what Eric Hosmer could have been if he wasn't just a robotic.
So what kind of shape do you think? When do you think Will swung a bat last?
Oh, he goes putt putting. He goes to putt putt probably in Charlotte, and he's like, I'll take some swings on the 70 mile per hour in the net. You know, the big
Maggie
round
makes him some,
the big round batting cage where it's shooting out from the middle like a spoke, like spokes on a wheel out. He's hitting him some 70 mile the rubber dimpled balls that get thrown.
Still got it. Just ripping line drives in that off 70.
He heads over to the bumper cars and just owns a bunch of 12-year-olds out there.
Gets home and Maggie has an amazing dinner ready for him. God fucking bless him. You know, he's living his best life.
Don't tell me Will Myers doesn't have a competitive bone in his body. Because when he gets to the 19th hole at miniature golf, you know the thing where you have to shoot it off the ramp and you get a free game if you hit it into the hole?
Exactly.
No one takes mini golf skee ball more seriously than Will Myers. the fire, the competitive fire that we used to see here in San Diego.
God bless you, Will.
When he gets to the Family Fun Center.
God bless you, Will. You and Maggie.
Don't even get me into when he gets onto the Street Fighter II Tournament Edition arcade game in the lobby outside of the Bullwinkles. Yes. Some 9-year-old comes up and thinks he knows video games. Will tells him, you sadly don't.
Speaking of video games, Blake Snell. You think he's thrown a pitch?
No. He coaches a travel ball team, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he's just playing Call of Duty just... All the time.
What's he care?
It's so great.
He's already rich. Like
he's just loaded. Like it doesn't care. But
I don't think he has
no
a
job. Baby on the way.
He doesn't seem like he has a high burn rate.
He doesn't
like
give a fuck. It's
you
crazy.
You don't see pictures of him at like the I don't know in the Maldives,
right?
On the off season, you just see him bumming around Seattle.
Well, he went to Paris.
Oh, he went to Paris.
Yeah, at the end of the season. Yeah, she took him to. Yeah,
probably had to go. To,
yeah, I think they were trying to like do that before
baby
stuff.
Moon. Oh, a baby.
It was like okay, you have to take me now.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, and he's over there. She's in the shops, and he's back in the room.
Yeah,
on his PS5.
He brought it with it. Yeah, he brought it with
it. Yeah, set it up in the hotel. Yeah.
I don't know. Blake's fine.
I love Blake. But.
What's he care?
His offer
is $150 million. So trust me, I don't think he's hurting.
Where's he going to end up?
Yankees or I don't know. I am pretty scared the Giants are just like, he got 150. If we offer 160, like we just paid Jung Hoo Lee 120. Like why wouldn't we pay $40 million more for a double Cy Young?
They have a lot of money to spend, actually.
Yeah. And
still.
And Farhan wants to look like he can close the big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting. You know, he would just fuck us for like would be
of
the only
course.
Would be the only team
it's
that he
the
would.
Worst case scenario yeah. if he goes yeah. to the Giants
because he's not going to be ready to really actually pitch until God knows when because he's not doing anything right now. So it's going to be a mess for like a year. But after that, he's just going to ruin
honestly,
us.
I don't think so. I saw pictures of him back in San Diego. I don't. Yeah. I don't know if he lives here, but I do know that Scott Boras has like a. I learned this on the Moonball Media Eric Hosmer podcast. Scott Boras has an entire like fitness facility in Orange County.
Oh, okay.
For all of his athletes to do like it's like a Boras driveline basically. So he has like a workout facility. So I think a lot of people are like, oh, he's in San Diego because he's here for the Padres or whatever.
He's not
loyal to the soil.
He's not.
It's just as likely he's stayed in the area because he can drive up to Boras's facility in like an hour. So I don't know.
Okay.
But I don't think Scott Boras lets his clients just. I mean, he
might still have a place here.
Yeah. Sure.
You know,
yeah.
So stays there.
There's a
drives
reason
up
for him to
County
be. There's a reason yeah. for him to be here, though. I don't think Scott Boras lets his clients just languish,
dick around.
Yeah, I imagine
he doesn't like that.
Blake's still working out. And,
you think?
I don't want to doubt the guy.
Okay,
he's fine.
He's fine.
okay, here's what I think the Padres should do.
Oh,
real
shit.
Quick,
you gotta go.
It's fine. Yeah. the outfield's one thing, right?
Yeah.
I just think the options out there suck.
They're terrible.
Tommy Pham doesn't excite me.
No.
Adam Duvall, maybe. But I think that the impact position is DH because our DH sucks the most.
Well, what Schilt said was we're just gonna spread it around, and we're gonna give guys a half day off their feet.
Okay, but that's
so
like
that
2 days.
When Manny does that, that means
2 days a week though.
That means that Matt Xander. Batten will be playing third. When Xander does it, that means Matt Batten will be playing second. Like that's not a solution.
I think
that's not a fucking solution.
I'm not happy with that solution. And that's because that still
terrible.
Leaves like 4 to 5 days where they're going to run Matt Batten out at DH.
Yes.
So I see JD Martinez sitting out there and I see the defense being like, oh, he's going to be too expensive. Too expensive.
What does he get?
This team owes us 20 million plus 25 million in spending still.
What does JD get?
10
million?
12?
Probably.
Yeah. JD Martinez, outside of Juan Soto, would have been the best hitter on this team last year. He had the highest WRC plus.
JD Martinez, the guy that they should have signed the year that they signed Eric Hosmer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
When he could still play the field.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
JD Martinez, compared to what our incumbent DH is, the jump from that is significantly higher than the jump from, let's say, Azakar to Adam Duvall.
Can you imagine the...
And honestly, they should sign both. They should sign Adam Duvall and JD Martinez. But for me, that's the optimal signings here.
The level of ejaculation if they sign JD Martinez and give him $10 million and the chest beating that, oh, see, we do have money.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
You know what? I'm fine with that. Yeah, that's a real player.
Whatever. Like, we need Major League Baseball players.
All I want to see is all of the Soto money spent. I want the promise. And yeah. AJ went on the day after the Soto trade and said, this creates payroll flexibility and we intend to reinvest that money. If they break that contract with the fans, that's when I'm going to get upset. I think they've got a couple weeks. They got some leash here.
And listen, okay? AJ Preller has never lied.
He's when I think truth telling, I think AJ Preller.
Yes.
When I think silver tongue devil, I think AJ Preller. Choo choo enthusiast, I think AJ Preller.
Yeah, so. No. Yeah, no. From our standpoint.
Yeah. Look, I think they got a couple weeks. I don't think they can wait though. Because honestly, all this talk about Schilt ball and the culture and stuff. If you really believe that, and Tommy Pham comes in here, don't you want whoever it is, Pham, Duval, Martinez, to absorb the Schilt culture as much as possible? Yeah,
shouldn't these guys be playing with together?
What are we waiting for?
The first game is less than 4 weeks away.
Right. I'm giving him 2 weeks leash.
Okay.
In 2 weeks from now, if they have not spent up to the CBT and they have not spent the Soto money, then I'm going to be real upset. And I think all fans should be upset.
You don't want to see H.J. Preller upset. You don't want that.
Ask Wayne Partello, who no longer works for the Padres now. Yeah,
exactly.
What happened?
Yeah. Where is he?
Yeah. Where is he?
He's in a Slovenian prison camp.
Ugh, that guy. All right. So that's my path. That's my path to... You know, I was in Vegas on Monday. The line's not great on the Padres. It said if you bet they're basically projected for 500 in Vegas. That's the line.
Oh my God! Right now?
Yeah,
I'd take the under big time.
Yeah, I was going to, but my 9-year-old daughter shamed me about gambling, and I couldn't put the bet in.
Call 1-800 gambler.
Yeah. I would. It was 81.5. Actually, was the
and they won 82. They won 82 last year.
I would have taken that under
Snell, Soto, right? Hader, with a
significantly Waka, better
Lugo, better team. Martinez. It'd be a miracle.
Miracle. Well,
with no changes to the roster right now.
Yeah, and it would be a fucking Tommy miracle. Pham doesn't move that needle. That
no,
much.
Absolutely not. No, unless he brings his guns.
Well,
you know, Schilt is would love that guy.
Oh,
right.
Schilt's from North Carolina.
That's
also.
Right up his dick hole. Yeah.
Well, Corey, we've said it all. Another positive episode. Look, I'm going to say I ended it positively. There's a path.
Yes.
To get to 82 wins.
Do it for Peter.
Yeah, do it for Peter. Sign JD Martinez. He's not too expensive.
You dickhead.
Sign Adam Duvall.
Yeah.
Don't sign some minor league contract guy.
Right.
I'm not getting. I know the local flagship will be excited for whoever they sign.
Oh, of course.
But I'm not going to be excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do find Craig to be excellent.
He's excellent. Not like those company men in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So they gave up 14 runs. Who cares?
It's held them scoreless for 7 of the innings. You don't understand. Weird that the guy that harps constantly about a run differential magically doesn't care about it anymore. Interesting.
Interesting. Okay, you're late. You got to go.
Yeah.
But should we do this next week?
Let's see what happens. Let's see if it's necessary.
Okay.
But 2 weeks from now, if they haven't spent the money,
I think we record. Then you're ready.
Yeah.
Angry HG.
Yes. All right, Corey. Go Padres.
Go Padres.